so much for this honor, this opportunity. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege that you have given to bring your word to this special people. Thank you for the relationship that has been maintained through the years. Lord, I pray that in this conference, indeed, there will be an outpouring. In the name of Jesus, that everyone who has come within this auditorium, outside, and those following online, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be mightily edified. And to Jesus be all the praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Please be seated. Thank you again. Hallelujah. It will never tire me to bless the Lord for the privilege, first and foremost, of relationship with the Nigerian immigration. I have been immensely blessed at several points. Leaders within this fellowship have been instrumental to facilitating anything that has to do with concerns of passports and etc. And I cannot take it for granted. Thank you. Thank you so very, very much. Hallelujah. Let me also commend the spiritual consistency of the Christian fellowship here. By the privilege of God's grace, I think that we have established a relationship that has lasted quite maybe a few years now to make it a decade. And God has been very, very faithful, and I have seen the consistency, and I think is worthy of commendation. May the Lord bless you, and salutations to all the leaders in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. We'll hopefully have a brief session this afternoon, and we'll see how far the Lord will help us cover, and then by the morrow, God will grant us the grace to be able to pray for the sick and to do as much as He would grant us the grace to do. Romans 8:14. The Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, He says they are the sons of God. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Here the Bible shows us that among the many secrets and tokens that validate sonship in the kingdom is the ability to be led by the Spirit of God. That if an individual is to manifest the reality of your sonship in Christ, it will take more than just the new birth experience. You would have to live your life at the mercy of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That if you submit yourself to the ministry of this personality called the Holy Spirit, among the many benefits you stand to enjoy is that your life will begin to command results that can only be traced to one who is the Son of God. Are we together now? Yes. So when an individual submits to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, as he begins to perform his ministry in your life, something begins to change about your life, and that it will change so dramatically that your results will not be able to be traced to any earthly origin. The only origin that will fit the description of your life and your result is one who came from God. May that be our testimony. In the name of Jesus. You probably may have heard me teach that there are many encounters. Please let me have your attention, especially for those outside. There are many encounters that believers need to have in order to live an excelling and an effective Christian life. Hallelujah. Captured from Genesis to Revelation are many kinds and phases of encounters that believers would need to have. I'm interested in just one of them for the service this afternoon, the encounter with the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In fact, the point of initiation into the kingdom, according to the discussion of Jesus Christ and Nicodemus is coming through the Son. Are we together now? Yes. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in that Son should not perish, but as a reward for believing that Son, you have not only life everlasting, but you are given access into the experience of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But then the encounter does not stop there. The next most important encounter in order of priority, when you meet Jesus as the Son of God, then you are introduced to this personality called the Holy Spirit. Theologically speaking, the Holy Spirit is the first of the Godhead we see revealed in the Bible. Genesis 1 and verse 1. The Bible says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. It says, now the earth was dark and void and formless. And then it says, and the Spirit of God hovered round the face of the waters, or upon the face of the waters. So we see the Holy Spirit as that distinct triune personality who was revealed. When Jesus was about to be born, the angel comes to Mary, gives her a very strange salutation, and tells her that her womb will be used to birth one who would come to save the world from their sins. And she said, how shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? The angel said, the power of the highest shall overshadow you. So the Holy Spirit himself is called the power of the highest, that he will overshadow you and he will produce a result in your life that is not ordinary. This is powerful. That means when the Holy Spirit overshadows a man, there is no limit to how far and how great that man can be. Here is a young virgin who had not met a man. Based on the law of reproduction, it will take a man and a woman, the seed from the man, in union with the woman to have a child. And the Holy Spirit, the angel, is saying the possibility, you know, is not the only possibility that exists. That an influence can come upon you and produce the result routed by another way. Do you know what this means? That means normally, if it takes 10 years for an average person to prosper, it's not a lie, based on the principles of agriculture or growth. But when the power of the highest overshadows you, it is possible that that 10 years can be 1 year for you. This is an information that gives you hope. That means do not generalize my results. There is a factor that is an advantage to my life. Are we together? How shall these things be, seeing that I know not a man? How shall these things be, seeing that it's after three or four years that promotion happens here at the Nigerian immigration? It's been so, but not when the power of the highest overshadows you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can someone just turn this already to a prayer in 1 minute? Spirit of the living God, you will overshadow my life. Rewrite the possibilities in my life. Someone is praying. Shebakatuska libra isya. Rewrite the possibilities in my life. In the name of Jesus. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. Please give it to us. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. The prophet was speaking, even by the influence of that same spirit. And he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord. It was unto Zerubbabel, but it is true unto Joshua Selman. It is true unto Nigerian immigration. It says, not by might, nor by power, human abilities. It says, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That means there are some results that are not by earthly might, nor earthly power. If you ever see an individual walk in that result, it tells you that the factor behind that kind of result is the spirit. So do not be surprised when you hear what God is doing in your life or my life. It is by the Spirit. Every time your results defy explanation, the summary of it is that it is by the Spirit. How come in 1 year you became a landlord? It is by the Spirit. This cannot be by brain work alone. How come in 1 year God lifted your children and sorted every one of them? By the Spirit. How come in 1 year your genotype that used to be something that was a source of concern now changed, you are healed, delivered, and lifted and honored? How come Abuja opened for you within a moment? Somebody shout, by the Spirit. Let the devil hear it. Say, by the Spirit. That means Saul can become Paul by the Spirit. That means a young boy who was looking for his father's donkey can encounter an anointing by the Spirit and become a prophet. Rejoice not over me, my enemies. What you are seeing is not all there is in my life. The power of the highest can overshadow me. Please sit down. Men are not just made by chance or the natural sequence of happenings in life. Please listen. Whether in ministry, whether in career, whether in family life, every time you see any kind of exceptional rising and excellence in and through a man, immediately it should tell you that the source of that rising is spiritual. Whether it is demonic or it is of the Spirit, no man attains a certain threshold of results unassisted by the spirit realm. It is against the law of growth. Agriculture teaches us that there is a path to the tree you don't see. That is what makes the path you see even stand. Is that true? When you plant a tree, it does not begin to go upwards until it goes downwards. Now, what happens there may not be seen by the optical eyes. However, it is from that advantage that is beyond the human sight that the tree itself stands. That means the physical part of that tree is empowered and kept by the invisible part of that tree. Agriculture teaches us that the physical part of you remains dormant until we can see the strength of that spiritual part of you. Hallelujah. Do you know, if you cut the physical part of the tree and leave the part invisible to the sight, you didn't do much harm to that tree? Are we together? Because it is still connected to the root and to the earth. It will draw nutrients and even rise and grow bigger. In fact, it is even a strategy. It's called pruning in agriculture. Is that true? Where you can cut a bit of part of the tree and then it now begins to grow and blossom. That means no matter what happens to you, if that invisible part that is connected to the realm of the spirit is not touched, the devil has not done you harm. Are we together? But do you know it is also possible to not touch the leaves of a tree and just uproot it? You remember the word? Not up branch, not up stem, uproot that tree. You can leave the leaves still on it and it begins to wither naturally. What did you end up doing? You ended up disconnecting it. That means there is nothing the devil can do with a man who has discovered the spiritual advantage to his life and has held on to it. My assignment is to connect you by revelation to that one factor that is responsible for the mysterious yet predictable rising of men. Any man at all has nothing to do with the prejudice of gender or bias or background. I don't care whether your background had an advantage by default or not. That entity that was given that assignment of rewriting the narratives of the lives of men is called the Spirit of the Living God. The Holy Spirit is called the force behind exploits, the mystery behind the dominion of men upon the earth. turning ordinary men to become invincible, indomitable. He's called the Spirit of the Living God. Whether it is to a preacher or to a diplomat like you, dear people, or to some kind of family person, it does not matter. When the Holy Spirit held darkness like a raw material, he produced light out of it. Your life cannot be darker than it was in Genesis 1 verse 2. And yet he was not threatened by the presence of that light. This already gives you hope. No matter, the Holy Spirit is not perturbed and concerned by whatever raw material is given to him. You just give it to him and watch what he does with it. Whether that raw material is a negative past, whether that raw material is a life of failure and defeat, hear me please, whether that raw material is a life full of curses and yokes, whether that raw material is a life that is full of disadvantages, whether that raw material is the life of an orphan, the life of a widow, the life of a widower, the life of a sinner, you hand over that life as a raw material to this power of the highest and watch what he makes out of it. Is someone following? He's called the Spirit of the Living God. Unless and until an individual encounters that Spirit of the Living God, there is no possibility for commanding an excelling life as far as this kingdom is concerned. Even if you rise without him, there will always be a side effect to your life. There is a factor that cannot be mimicked by the world. I would always use construction. When, say, Julius Berger or any of the top construction brands, you can know the quality of their products by certain tests. When you see a block that comes from Julius Berger, you don't need to ask. You can throw it up and it will fall down and not break. You know that that block was casted. It was not just sand. Are we together? The quality of that product. They would build bridges and build skyscrapers and then leave their signature on it. Somewhere in that building, you will see the signature of that company. You can know the life God built because if you search well, you will see the signature of the Holy Spirit upon that life. You can see a life that the Holy Spirit prospered because you will look for sorrow and not find it. Any other kind of prosperity that is not God's way, there must be a sorrow component in it. It is the blessing of the Lord. Did your Bible not say so? That can make rich and yet extract the sorrow from it. There are people, the higher they rise, the more sick they become. The more afraid they become. They rise high and even become afraid of their own wives and their own husbands. Why? Because they are afraid. It is vain to wake up in the morning and to sleep late in the night, the psalmist said. Only to eat the bread of sorrow. But only this God of heaven can give his beloved sleep. He said, except the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord watches over a city. He said, the watchman watcheth but in vain. It is vain to wake up in the morning. That is supposed to be the principle of productivity. To wake up in the morning and even to sleep late at night. It is the most poetic representation of hard work. And yet he says, only to eat the bread of sorrow. But he gives his beloved sleep. Hallelujah. A few thoughts on the Holy Spirit and then we'll pray. Who is he? This personality called the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? John chapter 14. Let's read from verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. Jesus himself. Now, theologically speaking, you know that Jesus was born of that virgin called Mary, and the Holy Spirit played his fatherly role. So he was born a man, but empowered of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. Are we together? And the Bible says, when it was time for him now to begin his ministry, the Holy Spirit had to appear in the similitude of a dove, rested upon him, and then he was driven to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, the Bible says. And then he returned in the power of the Spirit. And then his fame began, you know, the mighty things that he kept doing. The disciples were amazed. Because I hope you know that most of the disciples were older than Jesus from earthly age. I hope you know that. Yes. Most of them were his contemporaries. They were within his age range. So it was not that Jesus was such a stranger who came from somewhere. Most of them knew him. They knew his parents. They knew the limitations that he had like every other child. What suddenly changed that this man became such an invincible entity? He would turn the city upside down. Now he began to speak here. 14, 16. And I will pray the Father, he said, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Next verse. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because it seeth him not, and because neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Jesus began to talk to them. Verse 18 now, finally. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Hallelujah. This is very important. In Isaiah 48 and verse 16. Isaiah 48 and verse 16. The Lord never sends men alone to do exploits for the kingdom. It says, come ye near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. It says, for from the time that it was, I am. It says, and now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Who sent you? The Lord God alongside his Spirit sent me. Who sent you to immigration here? It was not just an employment letter that sent you. It was the Lord God and his Spirit. The person who sent you is the one who defends you. The Lord God and his Spirit had sent me. Theologically speaking, we call the Holy Spirit the third person of the Trinity. He is not third in terms of lesser power. He is third simply in the description of the work and the job. Hierarchy based on function. He said, hear ye, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The word one Lord means unity, not singular. Are we together? Yes. It is one of the foundations of the Christian faith that we believe in the triune nature of God, being the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit coexisting. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is God, not an angel of God, not an errand boy of God, not some super being. The Holy Spirit in every way and always is God. Hallelujah. When Ananias and Sapphira, when they lied, and Peter, you know, they fell because they sold the plot of land, kept some money. Peter said they had lied against the Holy Ghost. They had lied against the Holy Ghost. And they fell because it was that same Holy Ghost who was God that punished them. The Holy Spirit is God. If the Holy Spirit is God, how come there are no three thrones in heaven? I thought you should see three thrones. There should be one that the Father is sitting on, one that the Holy Spirit is, the Son is sitting on, and the third, is that true? That should be the greatest expression of their equality. So why do we see only two thrones in heaven? At least from the testimony of Stephen, that he saw the heavens open. Remember when he was about to be stoned? He saw the Father sitting, the glory of God, and he saw Jesus the Son sitting at his right hand. But there was no other throne there. All other thrones were occupied by the 20 and 4 elders and other beings and other creatures. We don't seem to see a space for the Holy Spirit. I will tell you, just in summary, the Holy Spirit has a throne, and that throne is you. Listen carefully. It says, know ye not that your body is the temple, just like that throne of the Holy Spirit. that he lives in you. It is his presence in you that connects you to heaven. It is not until you rise physically and go to heaven that you are in heaven. The presence of the Spirit makes your habitation heaven. Hallelujah. This is very important. There is no destiny that ever rises without an encounter with this personality. From the Old Testament, you will read about ordinary individuals who met him and became powerful. Men like Samson. Several people met him and commanded unusual abilities. Now, very quickly, I want you to write. There are four biblical ministries of the Holy Spirit to the saints. The Holy Spirit, among the many things that he's been mandated by God to do and achieve in the life of the saints. You see, you cannot truly talk about the anointing or spiritual empowerment until you understand the Holy Spirit. He is the custodian, the caretaker, the keeper of the power of God. The administration of spiritual power resides within the office of the Holy Spirit. Are we together? There are four principal ministries of the Holy Spirit to the believer in Christ. Are you ready now? Ministry number one, guidance. The first ministry of the Holy Spirit to the saints, guidance. Number two, direction. Direction. Number three, revelation. Revelation. Number four, empowerment. Let me repeat myself again. The four major ministries may not mean that is all. There's so much he does in the lives of the saints. But according to the integrity of scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, we see these four principal ministries in the life of any individual who comes under the influence of the Spirit. Let me repeat again for emphasis. Number one, guidance. Number two, direction. Number three, am I doing something wrong? Revelation. And number four, empowerment. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit, when he comes to the life of an individual, he comes to provide guidance and direction. Let me show you the difference between guidance and direction. Please, can I have any gentleman, any one of these? Can I use you, sir? Please come. Come, please stand here. Watch this. This is direction. He wants to go out and maybe meet a car outside, and I tell him, walk out and then turn left. You are going to see a gate somewhere. That is direction. That is not guidance. That is direction. Are we together? Direction focuses on the destination. Guidance focuses on how to get to the destination. Please do not forget this difference. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me repeat myself again. Direction focuses on the destination, but guidance focuses on the steps that leads to the destination. So if I'm directing him, he does not know that there is a staircase here. He does not know that the ground can be slippy. That is not in the ministry of direction. The most important thing is to connect him to the final destination. Now he goes. Whether he will fall on the way, that is not the assignment of direction. Direction focuses on the destination. Are we together? But here's how guidance is. Guidance will now tell him, you are going to arrive there. However, when you get here, you will need to beware. There is a step you go down. The ground can be slippery. Let me see the kind of shoes you are wearing. When you get to the door, it's possible that it will be locked. So I will link you up with a relationship that opens the door. That is guidance. The Holy Spirit does not just direct men. The Holy Spirit guides. Some of you have been receiving only direction. That's why you are confused. You know where you are going, but you've not been able to arrive there because you have only received direction, no guidance. Someone lay hands on your head and say, Lord, give me guidance and direction. Are you praying? Thank you for direction. But now I know that I can be guided. Guided towards a profitable enterprise. Guided towards excelling. Pray. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. You get it now? Don't just pray for direction. No. He guides. He guides. Hallelujah. He guides. The Holy Spirit. So when you see men navigating their path through destiny in this forest called the earth, and they keep hitting it with accuracy, it's not because they are intelligent. There is an invisible force that says, hold on. No. This man may be sincere, but there is wickedness in his heart. Don't do business with him. And for a reason you cannot understand, the Holy Spirit can relocate you and tell you, it's time to leave your village and come to Abuja. And you are saying, Lord, I don't know anybody. He says, still come. When you get there, Lord, I am here. What should I now do? And he will say, attend the immigration fellowship. I don't know anybody there. Not knowing your destiny is connected to a job you will get here. That is guidance. Has someone learned something now? Please make up your mind to apply the truths that you learned from this conference. This is why I'm being as simple as possible, so that we don't just shout amen and return back, and then there's nothing that shows forth in our lives. Now let's talk about his ministry of revelation. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the word. When you study the word outside of the influence of the Holy Spirit, all you will encounter is just philosophy. At the end of it, all you will see, when you study this Bible without the influence of the Spirit, you will only meet a plethora of conflicting statements. Conflicting statements that will even annoy you. Why did the Bible say this one? Why did this one say this? The Bible was never intended to be studied intellectually alone. Because you see, this Bible is both closed and sealed. It must be opened and unlocked. Listen carefully. This Bible is both closed and sealed. So it must be both opened physically and then unlocked spiritually. Some of you have gone as far as opening it physically. It is now opened, but it is still sealed. Is someone learning now? Let me repeat it for the third time, that this Bible, ladies and gentlemen, please look up. This Bible is both closed and sealed. The Bible was never supposed to be studied intellectually alone. In as much as the Bible is a historic material, the Bible is also a piece of literature. The Bible has in it history and archaeology and all other things. But the Bible is wrapped up with a mystery that until and unless the seals are broken, you will only read it and find history and literature and poetry and archaeology, but it will not profit you spiritually. Therefore, Paul, knowing this, prayed a prayer in Ephesians chapter 1. Please, let's look at it. Ephesians chapter 1, we'll begin our reading from verse 17. Ephesians 1 and verse 17. Paul is praying now over the church in Ephesus, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Are we together? Next verse, 18. It says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, amplified, says, flooded with light, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The Holy Spirit is the revealer of the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please, from verse 9. Let's hurry up so we can pray. If God is blessing you outside, shout amen. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. Here's what the Bible says. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that love him. We're reading to 12. But God had revealed them to us. Say, he has revealed it to me. But how did he bring that revelation? By his spirit. Not just by experience. By his spirit. The things that no eye has seen, the things that no ear has heard, that it has not come into the comprehension of man, but God has revealed them to us by his spirit. So the ministry of revelation resides within the office of the Holy Spirit. All kinds of revelations. Revelations of the word, prophetic revelations. It is possible to have a thorough understanding and an acumen of things to come, things to happen, even though you are human. It is by the agency of the Spirit. Is someone learning? It says the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. We're still reading now. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. That means when you find men knowing the things of God, it is not an ordinary occurrence. The spirit of God has revealed them to us. Man unassisted should not know how to command favor. Man unassisted should not know how to command speed. Man unassisted should not know how to command restoration. Man unassisted should not be able to lay hands on someone. Your hand is not a surgery knife. Your hand is not Panadol. Your hand is not anti-malarial drug. However, a man can lay hands on the sick, and what Panadol does, even better, can be done. It is not ordinary. It is by the Spirit. Why am I saying this today? Because after this conference, it is only the onlookers who will be surprised at your result. As for you, you will only be grateful, not surprised. You will know that it is by the Spirit. So I expect things to happen in my life that should not happen to mere men. Let's finish up that scripture, please. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Why did we receive him? That we might know the things that are freely given to us. There are things that have been freely given, ladies and gentlemen. But whether you know it or not. Now, when I came and I sat down there, a wonderful woman lovingly brought me a bottle of water. Please give me that bottle. Let me use it for an instance. She brought it just to honor me and I was happy. But did you know that it's possible that I can walk out of this place and never enjoy this blessing? And never even know that this was kept for me. I can be thirsty and saying, these immigration people, is it that you don't see that I left such a distance to come here? Even a bottle of water. Yet from my arrival, that bottle was dropped. Could it be that from birth, favor has been dropped for you? Lifting has been dropped for you. From the beginning of this year, the prayers that mama prayed, the fasting that you went through, God answered, but you did not know how to receive it. The Bible says the Spirit of God is the one giving that mandate to show you what has been given. Thank you. Are we together? They know not, neither will they understand. Psalm 82 from verse 5. They walk on in darkness, and all the foundations of the earth are out of course. Verse 6 says, I have said, ye are gods, and all of you, not some, how many? All of you are children of the Most High. Verse 7 says, but you shall die like mere men and fall like one of the princes, because they know not. Sh- Show us the ancient path. Will you lead us along eternal highway? We want to follow the ways of Jesus. We want to enter your rest. Will you show us the ancient path? Lead us along eternal highway. We want to follow the footsteps of Jesus. We want to enter your rest. The Holy Spirit, He not only reveals the Word, He also reveals the will of God. The Holy Spirit can reveal. Because you see, the power of God is restricted by His will. Let me repeat again. The administration of the power of God is restricted by His will. The power of God is not authorized to go where the will of God does not allow. Tomorrow we'll look at that. There are rules of engagement to receiving and administering the power of God. The power of God has boundaries and coordinates. It does not just work anywhere. The power of God is only authorized to work where the will of God is. That means if it is God that is fighting a man, the power of God cannot solve that man's situation, because it will be fighting the will of God. It is only the mercy of God that can bail that man. When God is fighting you, you don't need anointing. You need mercy. Because the mercy of God will make him remember Jesus and his substitutionary sacrifice. That becomes the basis for his now relieving you of all of these things. God fights men, I hope you know. Oh, come on. Is it not in your Bible that God resists the proud? Who resists the proud? What does it mean to resist? To resist means to stop your advancement. To resist means to create an impedance. The Holy Spirit, the confirmer of the word. Isaiah 44. Let's read from verse 24 to 26. We'll find somewhere to pray now. Somebody will never remain the same. In the name of Jesus. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. It says that frustrateth the tokens of liars, and maketh diviners mad, that turneth wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. My interest is verse 26. That confirmeth the word of his servant, and performeth the counsel of his messengers. Do you know what this means? That means every time his servant speaks and his messenger delivers, if it comes to pass, the Holy Spirit, as representing the Lord God Almighty, is the force behind answered prayers, the force behind fulfilled prophecies, the force behind prophetic words that come to pass. So when you say a man is powerful, he spoke over my life and said, may your doors be open, and it happened. I am telling you that behind the speaking of that man, I can tell you, was and is an ordinary man. But that force behind insists that what was said should come to pass. Let me speak over someone already, that in the name of Jesus Christ, by the power that raised Christ from the dead, by this time tomorrow, may strange favor speak over your life. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Please be seated. The Holy Spirit. Without the influence of the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, saying amen is a waste of time. We only say amen based on the confidence we have that he sustains within himself the ability to make the word of God come to pass. How shall these things be, seeing that I do not have a job? How shall these things be, seeing that I do not have a womb? How shall these things be, seeing that I do not come from a family that provides that advantage, the angel gave a brilliant answer. The power of the highest shall overshadow you. Hallelujah. One more point, and then we'll wrap up for this afternoon. What else is the Holy Spirit's ministry? Empowerment, I said earlier on. He is the custodian and the administrator of the anointing. Please write it down. The Holy Spirit is the custodian and the administrator of the anointing. Isaiah chapter 61, the messianic prophecy, theologically speaking, was a prophetic description of that which will happen to Jesus in his earth work. But then, of course, it applies to the saints. Verse 1. Isaiah 61 from verse 1. Please look up. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. Watch what the anointing does now. You preach good tidings to the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Please look up. You can have an exceptional certification in counseling, and that is wonderful and important, but it is not enough to heal people from the pain that was caused by the assistance of demon spirits. You will need to be anointed to bind up the brokenhearted. You will need to be anointed to proclaim liberty to the captives. You know what it means to proclaim liberty to the captives? To announce to them that their season of captivity has come to an end. No, it takes more than good preaching. It takes more than English. And the opening of prison, you know, it never tires me every time I read this scripture. That means there are human beings who are alive and walking, yet they are in prison. Can you imagine that? Mobile prison. A prison is a place of restriction. Remember what happened to Peter? Remember what happened to, what's his name again? Paul and Silas. They kept him in prison. A prison is a place of restriction. A prison is a place where you are not allowed to easily visit, even if it's your loved one. You know this better than I do. It's a place of restriction. Next verse. We're reading to 4. By the anointing that comes through the Spirit to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. Again, still by the anointing to comfort all who mourn. Hallelujah. That the anointing can empower a man to comfort those who mourn. Not by saying sorry, by insisting that he will not cry again. Are we together now? Reading to verse 4. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, still by the anointing, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees or oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Verse 4. And they shall build up the old waste, still by the anointing. Nobody has ever done this in my family. I know my great-grandfather used to be a great man. Now, all of us, look what we have become. The Bible says the anointing by the Spirit can empower you to build up old waste. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolations of many generations. Micah chapter 3 and verse 8. The Holy Spirit being the custodian and the administrator of the anointing. But I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. I am not full of power just by prayer. I am not full of power just by fasting. Those things are vehicles. They don't bring power themselves. It is the Holy Spirit himself that empowers. If you pray and fast without his influence, you will end up feeling consoled that you stretch through a spiritual exercise and yet not be empowered. Hallelujah. The ministry of guidance, the ministry of direction, the ministry of revelation. opening you up to scripture, opening you up to the will of God for your life. Hallelujah. And then the ministry of empowerment, turning ordinary people to superhuman, extraordinary entities. Unfortunately, let me not go ahead of myself. We'll have that to deal with tomorrow. Please do not miss tomorrow's meeting, especially those of you outside, wherever you are. If there is no space, I will plead with the migration on your behalf to allow you to sit on the zinc. But there has to be a space tomorrow in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You see, when it has to do with the power of the Holy Spirit, for most of us, especially in the Pentecostal charismatic circles, the scope of our understanding of power is an ability that can push a human being literally to be on the floor. And that is not something to play with. Do you know how stable a human being is? Whatever can carry him on the floor, not a baby, and he's not sick, it's not like you have a problem walking. That has to be power. But then it is not limited to that. The assignment of God's power is to insist that his will finds expression in your life. That means you know that the power of God has found expression in your life. It is the force that makes for compliance. We'll deal with that tomorrow. I'll be showing you the assignments of spiritual power and the anointing, because there are so many people who shout anointing, anointing. Number one, we largely do not know what the anointing was sent to do. And then we have not discerned the operation of the anointing. So once you see someone powerful, or you just sense that fire come from him to you, you say, wow, this man is powerful. Or someone falls, or maybe healing and all of that. The anointing is not just limited to healing of physical bodies. As important as that is, the anointing does not just heal men. The anointing heals conditions and situations, psychological conditions, financial conditions. It's not only men who are sick. Your account can be sick. I hope you know that. Your mind can be sick. Your destiny can be sick. What do you do with a sick patient? You take that patient to the hospital. The hospital without a doctor, is it a hospital? That is the same way when you fast and pray and carry out spiritual activities without the Holy Spirit. It's like taking a patient to a hospital where there is strike. Will the person be healed? What gives the hospital value is the presence of the consultant. And if that consultant comes to your house has become the hospital. Hallelujah. Now hear me. Many believers have ignored the ministry of the Holy Spirit for many reasons. Among them these. Number one, because they believe that the Holy Spirit is just for men and women of God. Until and unless you want to be a missionary, an evangelist, or some fiery man of God traveling from one nation to the other, then you need the Holy Spirit. They can bid you well. But for the average believer, we have not been taught and even mentored to see the relevance and the necessity of the Holy Spirit. So the moment you feel I am a civil servant or I am a diplomat, all I need is just wisdom, brain work, and technical experience, and we stop there. Respectfully speaking, no wonder our lives continue to be a plethora of pain, episodes of pain and disappointment, in spite of our knowledge, in spite of our technical skills. I am calling on us by this message this afternoon. We must return to a place of a healthy appreciation for the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In fact, it will interest you to know that many people, if the Holy Spirit were kept here standing, and a jar of oil representing anointing was kept here, 95% of the people will ignore the Holy Spirit and run for power. No. You are the one that we praise. You are the one we adore. You give the healing and grace that our hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for. We need to return back and say, Holy Spirit, I started with you for some of you, but right now I have ignored your ministry. From the day I got my degree or my master's or my PhD, I ignored you because I was told that in Nigeria it's just man, no man. And since I know someone in the presidency, and since someone who had some parastatal is my tribesman, I don't need you. Go. The day government changes and I need you, and you know the Holy Spirit is so gentle, that's why the dove is what represents him. He will stay back and allow you with pain in his heart, while cheap victories become unnecessary battles. Some of us in our foolishness, we chose him and chose to remain with him. Reminds me of the vision that I had. Never tires me to share. When God was among the many visions that helped construct my call, I remember very clearly in one of the visions, having seen a generation crying that there was no food and no water. And they pointed at me and said, you are the one who is responsible for this state. I took responsibility, but in that vision, I felt helpless and powerless. How could I help these people? What do I have in myself? I wanted to open the door, but I was afraid because from that vision, it was like there were some enemies who were waiting to hurt me. I didn't have the power to fight them, and I didn't have the intelligence to help these dear people. The only thing I remember having in that vision was compassion. But I made up my mind. I said, if I perish, I perish. Watch this. As soon as I opened that door, here was this giant, gray-bearded man. He just stood and smiled at me and said, bring your hands. He said, I will walk with you. Now I know that it was the similitude of the Holy Spirit. He held my tiny hands and we were walking and we were jumping from one building to the other. Look what he's made out of my life. You really think brain work can produce this? Abba. You are diplomats. I am naive when it has to do with growth. You know this. You know the ins and outs of the psychology of growth and this by reason of what you do. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night and said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a man sent from God, for no man can do these things except God be with him. My life is a testament of a man who has been helped by God. The Holy Spirit is called the helper. Do you not know that? Yeah. God is calling on someone in this conference. You may be outside standing. You may be in any of the canopies, the overflows. You may even be inside here. He's saying, listen, this battle over your destiny, your grandfather tried it with intellect and all. It didn't work. Why don't you come to the Holy Spirit and say, I may not know my way around, but you are the wisdom of God. I may not know what to do, but you are the wisdom of God. You can help me. I completely surrender everything. Let me tell you this. The one thing I know about the Holy Spirit is that he never uses what is not given to him. He will never influence anything that is not surrendered. Let me repeat myself again. The Holy Spirit is so gentle until there is a conscious handover and surrender of a life, a condition, a situation. He can watch it, but not touch it until he is officially invited. Many of us have not invited him. And to wrap up this service this afternoon, we are going to have to invite him. I'm under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. I am under the shadow of your wings. Your influence is all over me. Listen, the same way you gave your life to Jesus Christ consciously, you can't say I got born again by mistake or knowingly. Although I know right now our generation does not even understand what born again is. But remember, when most people became born again, they will even ask you to write the date so that you don't forget. You can say, I got born again on a Tuesday afternoon. It was raining there. I remember I wore a yellow shirt. They will ask you to write so you don't forget. They wanted to drum that experience to your mind. Can I tell you? So also, you must have an official day in your life when you handed over completely to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. There are no assumptions. I remember the point in my life. Let me tell you how you hand over to the Holy Spirit. You don't hand over by reciting a chant. You hand over by acknowledging that I am limited. You hand over by acknowledging that He is the greater, the wisdom of God, the one who can raise and build and help. You have to acknowledge Him. He does not just direct your path just like that. You must be willing to acknowledge Him in all your ways, and then He shall direct your path. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glory, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me. Is someone ready to pray? Now hear me, there are two major prayer points we are going to be having this afternoon. The first prayer point is the prayer point of surrender. And please look at me. All of us are going to be praying, but I hope you know that you do not qualify for the ministry of the Holy Spirit until Jesus becomes Lord of your life. The Holy Spirit is not the door. Jesus exclusively is the door. There is no mention of the Holy Spirit being called the door. And I hope you know that to enter any place in an authorized manner, you have to follow the door. If a thief follows your fence into your house, he's in your house, but is he officially welcome? Because he did not follow the door. I believe there are people seated here, don't care whether you are a pastor, you are a leader, there are others outside, and probably many following, and you are saying, Apostle, as I heard you talk about Jesus, talk about the Holy Spirit, I have been stubborn, I have been stiff-necked, I have not truly yielded my all to Jesus first and foremost. Hallelujah. And I really want to make it right. Or I have truly given everything to Jesus, but somewhere along the line, either because of carelessness, distraction, and whatever it is, I cannot truly say that I'm walking in the faith. Now, for sake of time, we'll have just 1 or 2 minutes for these people. Let me start by making that altar call before we all together pray to make this surrender. If you are outside or inside, may I please request with boldness and gallantry and with sincerity of heart, I want you to leave your seat and come and stand here right now. If you are still waiting for someone, then you may need to sit back and come tomorrow. But our time is gone. You need to come out fast. Let's appreciate them as they come. I count 1 to 5 and then you come. 1, 2. Dear Immigration, is this the best you can do? Let's appreciate them. The Holy Spirit is still speaking to you. Come. He's asking you to come. Don't look at the person you came here with. This is a matter of destiny. Come to Jesus. Who is like Him? Lion and the Lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down. Are they coming?
Every ocean grows to the Lord above.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now please look at me. I truly want to salute every one of you for making this courageous decision. Gone are the days where when they make an altar call, people come out as if they are being arrested. No. An altar call is a noble call. The noblest call known to man. You are coming to hand over to Jesus. There is nothing to be ashamed and afraid of. You gave yourself freely to lesser things. You gave yourself freely to lesser humans. Why will you feel bad coming to Jesus? No. Thank you for making this bold decision. I truly believe there are many more that should come. But we thank God for the courage He's given you. And those who are following by way of television, following by way of internet, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in your office, your home, whatever it is, you need Jesus. It's time to make it right with Him once and for all. And perhaps you are still sitting and saying, Apostle, can I run and come out? Let me give you 10 seconds. You can still boldly come and join them because I want to pray right now. I really want to pray right now. The devil is a liar over your destiny. Come, run to Jesus. No shadow you will light up, mountain you will climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. No shadow you will light up, mountain you will climb up, coming after me. No wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Oh, it chases me down tight till I'm found. Leaves the 99. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still you give yourself away. Oh, the overwhelming,
never-ending, reckless love of God.
Please say after me, every one of you here, some of you are crying, don't be ashamed of your tears. Can you say after me sincerely from your heart, Lord Jesus, this afternoon, I have heard your word. I have come to you just as I am, unable to help myself. But I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died for me. I believe that you rose again for my justification. Right now, I make Jesus Savior of my life, Lord of my life, King of my destiny. I declare that the power of sin, of Satan, of hell, and of the grave is broken over my life. From today and forever, I am a child of God, washed by the blood of the Lamb. I receive eternal life into my spirit, and I declare that I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I go forward ever and backward never. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these precious people. The Bible declares that as many who will come to you, you will in no wise cast away. You have brought them even by your spirit. I decree and declare, based on the integrity of your word, I declare their sins forgiven. And in the name of Jesus, I declare that they are bona fide recipients of the life of God. That from today you go forward ever and backward never. Indeed, the power of sin, Satan, hell, and the grave is broken over your life. Welcome to this new life. In Jesus' name I pray. Okay, here's what you will do. For sake of time, I may request that you please go back to your seat. You will sit down. Is there a form or something to give them? Okay, here's what I will, please, maybe you give them the form. They should pick it, then they go to their seat with it. That would be a better option. Just pick the form and then return to your seat. After service, if they do make a request for you to wait briefly behind, please do cooperate with them in the name of Jesus. Are we all ready to pray? Just two prayer points. Our time is gone. Thank you for your patience. Prayer point number one. Lord, I surrender everything. My life, my wisdom, whatever, I surrender and I submit to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Please open your mouth and pray. Someone who is a believer is praying. Please pray. I surrender everything. Spirit of the living God, I yield my mind, I yield my body, I yield my intellect, everything to your influence. I admit that without you, I am unable to do much.